So Daniel chapter 12, reading from verse 9 and 10 and verse 13. And he said, "Go thy way, O Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days." So we are reading from Zephaniah chapter 1 and verses 14 to 18. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." That's a horrible picture. And we want to be able to meet that time without being in darkness. I read from the last day events, page 66. Last day events, page 66, paragraph 2 onwards. Notice what is written here for our direction of mind. Christians should be preparing for what soon is to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. None but those who have fortified their mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. What must we do? We need to fortify our minds. And I read that scripture. It's horrifying, but we may fortify our minds and be able to meet it. Only those who are diligent students of the scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. Our people need to understand the oracles of God. We need to understand the oracles of God. They need to have a systematic knowledge of the principles of revealed truth, which will fit them for what is coming upon the earth and prevent them from being carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now that last little statement, every wind of doctrine, is that not what we are surrounded by today? And can we not see what Sister White wrote way back there in Testimony Volume 5, which was in the 1880s, that ahead of them was this terrible time coming, and we are living way after that. We've been through circumstances that have been horrifying for those who have been in the First and the Second World War. But ever since that time, we have been swamped with every wind of doctrine. And what Sister White is writing here, we need to be able to be fortified against all this by diligent Bible study. Another statement from Maranatha, page 161, paragraph 5. We should now pray most earnestly that we may be prepared for the struggles of the great day of God's preparation. For the struggles. To be a real Christian today, the real Christian, is a struggle. So what was that? What did I read there? This preparation they should make by diligent studying of the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. And so I have labored in every divine service. This is not just preaching here. Every divine service I have given has been a Bible study, so that we will be able to pick up on scripture that lets us know. It's not what John Teal says, it's what we are studying here. And that's the issue. This hour, is my purpose is to focus on the very book of the Bible that has specific details, so that we would be equipped to know how to handle the day of the Lord, how to meet it, and how to survive through it. So there it was in our scripture reading, Daniel chapter 12. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12, and there let us really take to heart what is written here. We should diligently study the Word of God, so that we might be able to meet this serious time that we were reading in Zephaniah. And so the scripture reading was where God says, where the angel says to Daniel, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up." The book of Daniel was closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And in this period of time, there are many that need to be purified and tried and made white, while the wicked go on living carelessly and don't understand. "Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days." Just come over to verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." How real is that? Men running to and fro today. So the book of Daniel was closed until our time. And so you will stand in your lot, is what was said to him in those last days. So can you see, here is a study that will that will prepare us to meet the day of the Lord, because it is a book that is to be opened and helped us to understand so that we may know what we must do. Many reading the book of Daniel simply look upon that book in reference to the prophecies. But is it just the prophecies that were sealed to the time of the end? What was the book of Daniel for? So that we may understand. The wise will understand. You know, you can read something in the Bible but not understand what it is designed to do, to achieve. And so people read the book of Daniel and do not understand it, but it is to be opened to the understanding. The entire book is to be opened to the understanding so that we will know in reference to the day of the Lord. So the whole book, was sealed to the understanding until the time of the end. And not until the time of the end do the truths that it holds become open to our understanding. The Bible is making direct reference to the book of Daniel in the period of the three angels' messages. Let's go there to Revelation and see how in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the angel that stands on the sea and on the land, in verses 1 onwards, we read, I saw, chapter 10, verse 1 onwards, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand, a little book open. What book was that? He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders voices came through. Now verse 8 onwards. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, every Seventh-day Adventist, I think, knows what is written here. But I just want to elaborate. The book that was open in the angel's hand had to do with the day of the Lord, because they thought that this book would show to them how to meet the day of the Lord. But as you know, that open book that was open at the end of time was none other but the book of Daniel. And that book of Daniel was clarified to the minds of God's people back in 1844. They expected Jesus to come, didn't they? Because as they studied the book of Daniel, the 2,300-day prophecy, they expected that Jesus would come. But they had a sweet preparation, but it went bitter, a bitter disappointment. And they realized that they had made a mistake. They had to go. They couldn't meet Jesus coming in the air. They had some more preaching to do. They had some more teaching to do. That's what was written there, that you must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. And so from 1844 onwards, this book had been opened, and many people just look at the prophecy, as I mentioned. But let's go carefully here. Let's first of all read from the Spirit of Prophecy in Selected Messages Book 2. That's 2SM, page 109. I'm reading there from paragraph 1. All that God has in prophetic history specified to be fulfilled in the past has been, and all that is yet to come in its order will be. Daniel, God's prophet, stands in his place. John stands in his place. In the Revelation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened to the students of prophecy the book of Daniel. Has been opened. And thus is Daniel standing in his place. The book of Daniel has been opened and Daniel is standing in his place. He bears his testimony to which the Lord revealed to him in vision of the great and solemn events which we must know as we stand at the very threshold of their fulfillment. So, besides those prophecies that we know well, Daniel 8:14, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. We understand this well, that since 1844, the heavenly sanctuary is being cleansed of all the records of our sins in Jesus' ministry there. Daniel chapter 7, The 1,260 years in verse 25, time and dividing of time. We know all those prophecies that have told us where we are living at the end. We are living in the time of the end. Daniel chapter 2, children, you know that one, don't you? The image of the head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of brass and the legs of iron, those empires of the past that come and culminate at the coming of Jesus. All those prophecies we know are important for us to understand where we stand today. But what about Babylon? The Hebrews, the Jews were captive in Babylon. Is that a parallel? The captivity of Judah in Babylon, is that something we are to take out of the book of Daniel for us in the last days? Modern Israel, is it in captivity to Babylon? The SDA church today? Is this not a lesson to learn from the book of Daniel? How that Daniel and his friends and all the other Hebrews were in captivity, and while Daniel was there, the Jerusalem was under government of Babylon. Something to think about. Because is it not replicated there in, as we read it in Matthew 24, for our last days? Matthew 24. This is important to understand out of the book of Daniel and the terrible winds of doctrine that we are in danger of being affected by. Let's go to Matthew 24 and read verse 45 to 51, because here is something that is a replication of God's church in captivity with Babylon. Matthew 24, 45, speaking of these last days that Jesus is talking about, as in the days of Noah. Who then is a faithful? Who is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. Does that ring something from Daniel? That it says there, the wicked will not understand? They are not looking for him? And shall cut him asunder. Here is the day of the Lord. Shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's the day of the Lord. Now, what have we just read here? The servants of God, the faithful versus the one that says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, I want us to read something here from the spirit of prophecy. Remember, while Daniel was in captivity there in Babylon with his three friends, and so was Ezekiel and all the others that had been taken already, but there was Jeremiah in Jerusalem. And what was happening to Jeremiah? Zedekiah the king was giving him a hard time. The church was giving the faithful servant a hard time. What did we just read in Matthew 24? That the unfaithful servant was smiting his fellow servant? This is all contained in the book of Daniel. And there we saw in the First and the Second World War, those were terrible times. They were the leading towards the day of the Lord more and more. I read from the Spirit of Prophecy in Signs of the Times, December 7, 1882. Signs of the Times, December 7, 1882, paragraph 12 and 13. Follow closely. She's talking about this unfaithful servant. Let no one put aside the warning and say, it does not mean me. I will not be disturbed by this excitable message. It is the evil servant who says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now, what is meant here? He is professedly a servant of Christ. He may not, in words, deny that the Lord is soon to come. But his actions show that he puts off that day to a distant period. Have you heard of futurism in the ranks of Adventism today? Jesus is still, the events that we are looking to are still future. Nothing is at the present time important. It's what's coming. That's what we keep on hearing. And that's what it says. He may not in words deny that the Lord is soon to come, but his actions show that he's putting off that day to a distant period. He guiltily presumes on the supposed delay. Did you notice the language? Supposed delay. He becomes careless, and his works testify his unbelief. He adopts the maxims and conforms to the practices of the world. Was that not what was what the people and the children of Israel were doing in Babylon? As soon as the evil servant begins to lose the spirit and power of the message, he manifests his unbelief. He smites his fellow servants. He is ready to pass censure on those who are better than himself. The poison of asps is under his lips, their lips. His course is downward. Ere long, he may be found eating and drinking with the drunken, uniting with worldlings in their gatherings for pleasure, and to all intents and purposes, one with them. Such is the condition of very many among us today. That was in 1882. How is it today? So the story of the captivity of Israel in Babylon is replicated today. And the book of Daniel is containing that revelation. In reference to this, the unfaithful servant eating and drinking with the drunken, and the experiences that are made, we come to another quote from Great Controversy, page 608, paragraph 2. As the storm approaches, the storm that we read in the beginning in Zephaniah, this terrible day of the Lord, as it is arriving, a large class who have professed, how many? A large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition by uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit. They have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address, who once rejoiced in the truth, employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. Now, many people read that statement and say, oh, you see, these are the people who now were Seventh-day Adventists, but they're not Seventh-day Adventists anymore. And they misunderstand. They are, Matthew 24, verse 48, 45, 49. They are the servants who claim to be the servants of God, but have left their true position. That's the issue of what's written here. And they are men of pleasing address, who rejoiced in the original Seventh-day Adventist faith, but today are muddying the waters. This is the picture. So there in Babylon, while the organization in the time of Daniel had become apostatized and failed, notice Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1169, to pick up a very important lesson from that. Bible Commentary, Volume 4, 1169, Paragraph 3, and especially Paragraph 4. It says, through the Hebrew captives, the Lord was made known to the heathen Babylon. Who? Through the Hebrew captives, not through the organization in Jerusalem, through the Hebrew captives. Here is the lesson we are to learn from the book of Daniel. This idolatrous nation was given a knowledge of the kingdom of the Lord was to establish and through his power maintain against all the power and craft of Satan. Daniel and his fellow companions, now notice the naming of these faithful Hebrews. Daniel and his fellow companions, Ezra and Nehemiah, and many others were witnesses for God in their captivity. The Lord scattered them among the kingdoms of the earth, that their light might shine brightly amid the black darkness of heathenism and idolatry. To Daniel, God revealed the light of his purposes, which had been hidden for many generations. He chose that Daniel should see in vision the light of his truth and reflect this light on the proud kingdom of Babylon. Isn't it interesting? This was a single faithful person who was shedding the light upon Babylon. Where was Israel? It was only those faithful ones that were in captivity that were doing this work. And back there, of course, Jeremiah. So it says, he chose that Daniel should see in vision the light of his truth and reflect this light on the proud kingdom of Babylon. On the despot king was permitted to flash light from the throne of God. Nebuchadnezzar was shown that God, the God of heaven, was the ruler over all the monarchs and kings of the earth. His name was to go forth as the God over all gods. God desired Nebuchadnezzar to understand that the rulers of early earthly kingdoms had a ruler in the heavens. God's faithfulness in rescuing the three captives from the flames and vindicating their course of action showed his wonderful power. Great light shone forth from Daniel and his companions. Glorious things were spoken of Zion, the city of the Lord. Thus the Lord designs that spiritual light shall shine forth from his faithful watchmen in these last days. Did you see what the spirit of prophecy just did? Daniel and his friends, Ezekiel and Nehemiah and a few others like that, they were doing their work faithfully. And these faithful individuals God used. And what is there in it for us today? What did she just say? That thus the Lord designs that spiritual light shall shine from his faithful watchmen in these last days. If the saints in the Old Testament bore such a decided testimony of loyalty, how should God's people today, having the accumulated light of centuries, shine forth when the prophecies of the Old Testament shed their veiled glory in the future? The replication of the history of the Jews in the time of Babylonish captivity is a replication for God's people in the last days. The faithful servants, while the others were eating and drinking with the drunken, while the others were punishing Jeremiah. They couldn't touch the people in captivity. But the ones in Jerusalem, they could touch. What an object lesson for us to learn out of the book of Daniel, which was closed to the understanding until now. So there was Daniel and his three friends. What do they teach for us today? They would not defile themselves with the food of the king. What did they reveal for us in the last days? Vegetarians, yes? They were faithful. They wouldn't touch. They said, give us only pulse and water. Faithfulness in the last days in regards to our diet, plainly described there in the book of Daniel. Then learn the story of Daniel chapter 3. You know this one well, young people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. What a story. Does that story have anything to do with us today? Is this a declaration of understanding for the day of the Lord? The king made an image for everybody to worship. Does that ring a bell? Let's read it there in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15. And here, just like Nebuchadnezzar did great wonders, did these, you know, powerful things back in his day, built this image. And here it speaks of Babylon again. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven. Revelation 13, 14 and 15. That was verse 13. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Remember the image that these three young men were to bow before? Here is a replication. Here is a parallel. That they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Is that what happened back there? They were told very plainly in Daniel chapter 3 that anybody who would not bow down and worship at that image, they would be thrown into a fire, into the fiery furnace. And of course, when the music played, and it's interesting, there's so much comparison here. The music of apostate Christendom today plays and they all worship. Interesting. So much detail there. And as they all worshipped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood upright. They stood out for everybody to see. Is there a replication, a parallel? Let's read it from Bible Commentary, Volume 4. 4BC, 1169, paragraph 5. Now follow closely. By many, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment is made void, being treated as a thing of naught, while the spurious Sabbath, the child of the papacy, is exalted in the place of God's laws, are elevated the laws of the man of sin, laws that are to be received and regarded as the wonderful golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. Can you see what the spirit of prophecy has just done? The wonderful golden image of Nebuchadnezzar was by the Babylonians, the same parallel. Forming this great image, Nebuchadnezzar commanded that it should receive universal homage from all, both great and small, high and low, rich and poor. A direct parallel. And so the day of the Lord is going to be what is there portrayed in the book of Daniel. Now, for us in the day of the Lord, what happened to these three young men who stood out? We are living so close now that if you stand up for the true Seventh-day Adventist message, even within Adventism, you are identified as a strange one. And standing out in the crowd, is their experience directly relevant to that of God's remnant in the time of the last test? Let's go there to Prophets and Kings, because we are studying here that we need to study the Bible so that when the day of the Lord comes, we will be equipped. I'm reading now from Prophets and Kings, page 512. See the connection again. Page 512, paragraph 1. It says, important are the lessons to be learned from the experience of the Hebrew youth on the plain of Dura. Important lessons. Watch these young men. In this hour, today, in this our day, many of God's servants, though innocent of wrongdoing, will be given over to suffer humiliation and abuse at the hands of those who, inspired by Satan, are filled with envy and religious bigotry. Especially will the wrath of man be aroused against those who hallow the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. And at last, a universal decree will denounce these as deserving of death. Story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what Sister White's pointing at. She says, now notice what she goes on to say. The season of distress before God's people will call for a faith that will not falter. And it's depicted for us in these three young men. A faith that will not falter. His children must make it manifest that he is the only object of their worship, and that no consideration, not even that of life itself, can induce them to make the least concession to false worship. The loyal heart, the commandments of sinful, finite men will sink into insignificance beside the word of the eternal God. Remember what we said there, what we read? We need to study diligently the word so that we can tell, aha, this is what we are suffering here. The day of the Lord. It says, truth will be obeyed. Truth will be obeyed, though the result be imprisonment or exile or death. As in the day of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so, in the closing period of earth's history, the Lord will work mightily in behalf of those who stand steadfastly for the right. He who walked with the Hebrews, with the Hebrew worthies in the fiery furnace, will be with his followers wherever they are. His abiding presence will comfort and sustain. See why we need to study the book of Daniel? To be sustained, to be comforted. In the midst of the time of trouble, trouble such as has not been since there was a nation. That's the day of the Lord, yes? His chosen ones will stand unmoved. Satan, with all the hosts of evil, cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Now, have you ever become afraid? People have said to me, oh, I'm scared of this persecution. I don't want to die. And they think they're going to die. What happened to these three young men? Did they die? No. This is something that tells us that this kind of trouble, if we are faithful, when that day of trouble comes, we will be protected as much as was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's another revelation. Don't be afraid of the death, because you won't. As you go through your challenge of the fiery furnace, Jesus is with you. What a lesson to learn. His abiding presence will comfort and sustain in the midst of the time of trouble, such as not has not been. His chosen ones will stand unmoved. Satan, with all the host of evil, cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Angels that excel in strength will protect them. And in their behalf, Jehovah will reveal himself as a God of gods, able to save to the uttermost those who put their trust in him. Here in that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace lies our comfort and our hope in the day of the Lord. See why we need to study this? Just as these three were loyal and were protected, let's read some more. Selected Message of Book 3, 3SM, page 429, paragraph 4 and 5. Strong and terrible have become the masters of iniquity in the world under the control of Satan. But strong is the Lord God who judgeth Babylon. The just have no longer anything to fear. Did you get that? The just have no longer anything to fear from force or fraud as long as they are loyal and true. A mightier than the strong man armed is set for their defense. All power and greatness and excellence of character will be given to those who have believed and stood in defense of the truth, standing up and firmly defending the laws of God. Another heavenly being exclaimed with firm and musical voice, "They have come out of great tribulation. They have walked in the fiery furnace in the world, heated intensely by the passions and caprices of men who would enforce upon them the worship of the beast and his image, who would compel them to be disloyal to the God of heaven." Can you see what I'm reading here? Can you see how important it is that we study these and we absorb these realities so that when the day of the Lord comes, we have learned from the book of Daniel. We understand what the book of Daniel is communicating with us. In paragraph 4 on page 430, it says, "Oh," here, can you hear the appeal? "Oh, may God endue us with his spirit and make us strong in his strength. In the great day of supreme and final triumph, it will be seen that the righteous were strong and that wickedness in all its forms, with all its pride, was a weak and miserable failure and defeat." Tell me, young people, children, do you remember what happened to these strong men that threw the boys into the furnace? These strong men were weak. And here is the object lesson. Whatever strong men might be around you in regards to, you know, overpowering you with their great knowledge, etc., etc., you don't have to fear. This is the lesson that we want to take from the book of Daniel. We must hide in Jesus, for he is a covert from the storm, a present help in the time of trouble. The same help that was given to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is to be given to us, if we are faithful as they were. That's the challenge. And is that all there is in the lesson of Daniel, besides the prophecies? It isn't. It isn't. Now, this next lesson is so important. And those of you who have gone through the study of lessons from the life of Nebuchadnezzar, those Sabbath school lessons we had in 2020, and the conference that we had at Easter time, about 2 years ago, Nebuchadnezzar, the things we learned from there. What is the lesson that is contained for us as we are being prepared to be ready for the coming of Jesus? Let's go there to the words of Daniel chapter 4. This Daniel chapter 4 was one segment of the Bible that was written by Nebuchadnezzar himself. And what's so special about that? Let's go. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. There in Daniel chapter 4, the King Nebuchadnezzar tells his story, how he went from one event to another under the ministry of Daniel, and where it landed him up and what it concluded in his life. In verse 34, we conclude his testimony. Daniel 4, verse 34 to 37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes. Nebuchadnezzar had been insane for 7 years. Today, in these days of insanity, the lesson of Nebuchadnezzar is very valuable. And the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth great according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellence, majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What lesson do we learn in the book of Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar? We learn that indeed God's dealings with us over the course of our life is to be illuminated by Daniel, working with Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, honoring God when he was given the answer to his dream, and he honored God and really wanted to serve him. And then he deteriorated. And then he came to the time where in his blind pride, he was convinced through the story of the furnace of fire in which he saw Jesus with the young men. And he was again converted. He was converted at the beginning, then he was converted again, and then he went astray again. And he went mad. And then he was converted again. Here is the story of God dealing with God's people in the last days. They become convicted, they fall, they become convicted again, they fall, and God is purifying them until finally they come to the very final test and they are so purged and so cleansed, which Nebuchadnezzar is the example of. I want to read there in conclusion one quote from Prophets and Kings, page 521, paragraph 2 and 3. And there we see what it means to become converted, to see what it means, how the Lord will train us to come through into a victorious state. There in page 521, paragraph 2 and 3. The once proud monarch has become a humble child of God. The tyrannical, overbearing ruler, a wise and compassionate king. He who had defied and blasphemed the God of heaven now acknowledged the power of the Most High and earnestly sought to promote the fear of Jehovah and the happiness of his subjects. Under the rebuke of him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Nebuchadnezzar had learned at last the lesson which all rulers need to learn, that true greatness consists in true goodness. He acknowledged Jehovah as the living God, saying, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. God's purpose that the greatest kingdom in the world should show forth his praise was now fulfilled. This public proclamation in which Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the mercy and goodness and authority of God was the last act of his life recorded in sacred history." In Nebuchadnezzar's progressive experience that led him to full conversion, to full acknowledgement of who he really was and who he became when he fully became converted, there is the story of God's people coming to perfection. It's replicated. Let me read it here. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar is happening to those who will be finally converted in the end time scene. Page 92 of My Life Today. Here it is. My Life Today, page 92. And you remember, and you notice here, Malachi is quoted. It says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." Was not Nebuchadnezzar taken through the refining fire? What a lesson. A refining, purifying process is going on among the people of God, and the Lord of hosts has set his hand to this work. This process is most trying to the soul. Was it not trying to Nebuchadnezzar? Most trying to the soul. But it is necessary in order for the defilement may be removed. Trials are essential in order that we may be brought close to our Heavenly Father in submission to his will, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The Lord brings his children over the same ground again and again. Is that not what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Over the same ground again and again. And increasing the pressure until perfect humility fills the mind and the character is transformed. Then they are victorious over self and in harmony with Christ and the Spirit of heaven. The purification of God's people cannot be accomplished without suffering. What sort of suffering did Nebuchadnezzar go through? Terrible disheartenment in the beginning, but then look at the insanity. What a terrible thing he went through. And at the end of the insanity, he looked up and he was recovered. The purification of God's people cannot be accomplished without suffering. He passes us from one fire to another, testing our true worth. True grace is willing to be tried. If we are loath to be searched by the Lord, our condition is one of peril. It is in mercy that the Lord reveals to men their hidden defects. He would have them critically examine the complicated emotions and motives of their own hearts. And that's why we studied that Nebuchadnezzar. We saw the complications of the human nature. And the study of the book of Daniel is an important study, so we know when we come through to this final test, we will not go insane. We will come out of our insanity. We will look up to God as Nebuchadnezzar did. So important that we study the book of Daniel so that we might stand in the last days. May God help us to take to heart what the word, what he's trying to get across to us. It took Nebuchadnezzar so long, and it takes us so long. We have to be taken over the ground again and again and again. Don't despair. Look at the book of Daniel. Look at the three young men. Look at Daniel. Look at Nehemiah and Ezra. Look at the faithful few in the last days. And let us be indeed so purified as was Nebuchadnezzar. This is my prayer in Jesus' name that we understand. Amen.